We're going to continue this morning looking in Matthew's gospel, and we're going to do the last bit of Matthew chapter 6 this morning. And but I guess by way of introduction to that, as many of you know, Jane and I were blown away a couple of weeks ago because we were given a car, and she's laughing away. A Christian couple who we had never met wanted to bless us with a wonderful gift. And so I've had the pleasure of driving a Jag for the last few weeks. Never did I think I would ever own a Jag. We were blown away because the type of car it was, and because essentially some strangers just gave it to us because they wanted to bless us with it. The mix of emotions sitting in that car for the first time, and still a little bit now, was pretty wild. We felt, and still do, feel very blessed, but a little bit embarrassed about it as well. One of my kids put it very eloquently a couple of weeks ago and said, "We're not a Jaguar kind of family." I'm like, "No, Bethany, we're not." It's been the blessing to us that the couple who gave it wanted it to be, but it's not our treasure, and I hope it never becomes it. Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24 is the first book we're going to look at, and it talks about treasure. It talks about where your treasure is. Verse 19 of Matthew 6, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Where is your treasure? And that's a reciprocal question, all right? I'm asking you to answer that yourselves. Rhetorical question, yeah. Ask yourself that in your heart. I'm not asking for kind of hands up, you need to shout it out. But that is a question that I think Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount is prompting us all to ask. Where is your treasure? What is it that you really value? The challenge of this is big, isn't it? And we all face it. But it's not about stuff. It's about the heart, okay? And so don't look around the room and think, well, he's talking to them because they've got more money than me, yeah? It's like the old Harry Enfield sketch, isn't it? The guy that used to go, "Oh, I'm considerably richer than Yao." It's not about that. Don't think, well, I haven't got much money in my pocket, so therefore this isn't about me. Because in effect, your treasure or your pursuit of treasure will be in something. And so what is that, or where is that? Okay. So this is not just talking to what the world might see as wealthy, but it's talking to us all. What is it that you value? We are a church of mixed social status, where some have more than others, and some might even have what others might see as a lot more than others. But this passage is not looking at someone with more and assuming that that's where their heart is. They've got a lot of nice stuff, so evidently that must be where their treasure is. I don't think that's what it means. The Bible tells us that as God's people, every spiritual blessing in heaven is given to us. And there is no distinction there about every spiritual blessing in heaven is given to the wealthy, but not to the poor. We don't get that distinction. There is a blessing on the wealthy and on the poor. Though every blessing from heaven. There is no distinction as to who it's for, not based on wealth or colour or class or gender or anything. So it's not that the wealthy or the poor are more spiritual and have a purer heart. It's not that the wealthy are clearly really holy and so God has given them great things. And it's not that the poor are poor because they don't need those things there because they're so harmonious in their walk with God. Yeah, it's not that at all. It's not unholy to be wealthy, and it's neither unholy to be what the world might see as poor. But the question is an individual one for us all this morning, regardless of where we think we might be on that kind of poor and rich scale. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where is your value? And that's a question for all of us. Do you love your stuff too much? Or are you living life hoping that one day you might have more stuff than you do now, and then you'll think you'll be happy? If I have this, I'll be happier. If I have what they have, I'll be happier. That's where our heart is. Treasure is not in stuff or possessions, for there are a lot of nice things in the world. And it might even be that you own some of them. But this is a warning from Jesus to all of us that don't put your treasure there. Don't put your treasure in what it is. There's that old song, isn't there? Dave isn't here this morning, but he'd sing it. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. We've been singing this morning, Christ alone is our cornerstone. Christ is our firm foundation. He is Lord and Lord of all. Equally, it's not just about material things, but anything that takes the place of treasure in your heart, which could be something that you've had to go and buy. That's where my treasure is. And it might be something else. I love my family. I love being with my family, but they are not my treasure. And nor can they ever be my treasure. For God comes first. God is my heart's desire. God is my treasure. And my family can come second to God. I am glad that they love me, but I don't want to be their treasure. I want them to live a life that's devoted to Jesus. To give Jesus their everything, to give him their desires, to focus on him for what he can give them, not what I can. To focus everything they've got on glorifying him and honoring him. It's not about me, it's not about them, it's what's in our heart. We should be God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's what it means, isn't it? All of your heart. I'm getting ahead of myself. For where your treasure is where your heart is, verse 21. What's your treasure in? Or who is your treasure in? Where is it? What are you valuing above everything else? It can be possessions, it can be money, it can be family or friends, it can be your job or your status, your looks, your talents. We've got to be careful, really careful, over what it is that we really value and what it is we value the most. And they might be things that we already have, or it might be things that we think that we need or want to have. If only I can have that, I'll be happy. That's your treasure. That's your treasure. If only I can have that, I'll be happy. That's where your treasure is. The things on earth won't last. Things on earth will spoil and fade and have no value in heaven anyway. There's a story or a joke about a rich man who was near to death. He was sad because he'd worked so hard and wanted to carry all of his riches with him. And the man pleaded with God and was allowed by God to bring one bag with him into heaven. Overjoyed at this concession, he loaded his suitcase full of gold bars. Upon arrival at heaven, he was checking in and told by Peter that the bag wouldn't be allowed. He insisted, but God gave me permission to bring it in with me. And so when the bag checked and it was opened, he found that he did have approval from God. But when it was opened, Peter said to him, "Why have you brought pavement with you?" Heaven is so glorious that what would be so valuable to the man had nearly no value in heaven. For the streets are paved with gold. Revelation 21, verse 21. The street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. What is of such value to us on earth is of near enough no value in heaven. For so perfect and glorious and wonderful it will be. The things that we treasure will spoil and fade. The things that we treasure have no value in comparison to God. For he is the biggest and the greatest and the most wonderful. We are not our stuff are valuable to God. God doesn't love you because of your stuff, your time, your possessions, your looks, your status. He loves you because you are you. He loves you because you're you. You could not have any of those things that you think are so important, and yet God would still love you. God would still love you. God loves us not because of our stuff. He loves us because we're us. Verse 24 says, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot love money and God. You can't love both things. So make sure that your priorities are right. Make sure that your heart is set in the right place. If you think money will make you happy, you will always want more of it. Regardless of how much you already have, you'll always want more and more and more because you think that's just going to make me happier. And then you will find you'll find yourself doing things so as to get more of it that actually if you stopped and thought about it, you think, why am I doing that? Why am I working 20 hours a day? Because I've already got enough money to put a roof over my head and feed my family. Why am I doing that? Because whether you've realized it or not, that's where your treasure has become. Why am I cheating and scheming and trying to get a bit more and a bit more and a bit more? Because you think it'll make you happy. Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? Give your heart, your time, your attention, your focus, everything, not to the pursuit of more stuff here, but on your relationship with the Almighty. You find yourself doing things to get more and more and more, even if it has a detrimental impact upon your relationship with God. You find yourself doing things and making choices that keep you away from God's service or the fellowship of God's people or his worship. And you think, well, it's okay because my pursuit of it is noble. Or if I do this, it's making me happy. And you forsake the relationship with God. Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Jesus wants us to have our treasure in him. Verse 22, he wants us to have our eyes on him. Verse 24, he wants us to serve him alone. It's quite clear, isn't he? Put your treasure in me, serve me, put your eyes only on me. Everything else will spoil and fade. Nothing else will last. Give all your heart, your attention, your everything to me. Give it all to me, God says. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy of it all. This is not just in comparison to the false gods of the other religions, but it is true against everything else and above everything else and all other things. I like to watch the cricket and especially go and watch live cricket. I love to sit in a cricket ground and watch the game. I have a season ticket to go down to Edgbaston and watch it. And one night last year, I realised something in a very kind of profound, well, it wasn't that profound, but I realised it. I was sat next to a guy in this stand, and he was about the same age as me, perhaps a little bit older. He had a team shirt on. He shouldn't really have been wearing it. He had a hat on. He was properly invested in the result. He was shouting, he was agitated, he was abusive in the tough moments, and as high as a kite at the sight of a catch or a wicket tumbling in the ground. I went to that game because I enjoy the game. I enjoy sitting outside in the sunshine, the gentle and often amusing atmosphere. This guy had gone because it was where his treasure was. It was affecting everything about his mind and his heart. The venom on his face when a player didn't do what he wanted, and the exhilaration when luckily he caught a one-handed catch. It was where his treasure was. Jesus, only Jesus. He alone is worthy. I'd rather have Jesus than anything, anything. But for each of us, that anything, the pinch point of that will be different. It'll be a different thing for all of us. What is your treasure? List the things that are important to you. Is Jesus more important than that? It, him, her, whatever it is. I'd rather have Jesus than insert the blank. If you know in your heart that something is risen above Jesus, then something's out of kilter. And the Lord is saying here, look, I'm your treasure. This kind of perspective of saying that Jesus comes first and only him is going to make me happy is really liberating. It's a challenge to acknowledge it and to recognize it, recognize the things that in our heart that are too important and too valuable to us. But when we're able to do that, it's liberating because it frees us from the worry of constantly wanting more of whatever it is. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. If our value, our hope, our worth, our confidence, our happiness is in Jesus, then the other things start to matter less. Doesn't matter as much. And if it doesn't matter as much, you don't worry about it as much, you don't crave it as much, you won't do ridiculous things as to have those things because, frankly, they're not as valuable to you anymore. If Jesus is everything, you give everything up for the pursuit of Jesus and you stop giving everything up for the pursuit of other things because you worry less about them. You worry less. Don't worry about what you will eat, drink, or wear. It's not that it isn't important, but it's that God knows that you need them. And as much as your value is in him, he has incredible value in you. You are valuable enough that he sent his son to die for you, to restore you into his family, that you might be called the children of God. And as children, he's going to look after us. And so we don't need to worry. A small child doesn't worry about what they might eat or wear. They just trust their parents are going to feed them. They just trust their parents are going to clothe them. They're not worrying about their food. They're just confident that the person that they gaze up at and look at and see the love in their eyes, that he and or she is going to give them what they need and when they need it, and that there will be enough of it. They trust that the people that love them are going to look after them. Your heavenly Father has got your back. You do not need to worry about what you're going to eat or drink or wear, but trust the Lord. Your gracious heavenly Father, who owns the cattle on the thousand hills, that he is going to look after you. You do not need to worry about those things. Your Father has your back. He loves you enough. He loves you enough to call you his child. Besides, verse 27, can you add an hour to your life by worrying about it? Does worrying help you in any way, shape, or form? I've never found that it does. It doesn't help. It doesn't solve anything. It doesn't make anything any better. It just makes you feel worse. Worrying is not only unnecessary, it's also pointless. It's pointless. Jesus then, as it were, he doubles down on it. He goes again. And he wants to make sure that we've really understood this. And so again he goes, don't worry about what you will wear. Don't worry about it at all. Jesus perhaps had an early insight here into the world of disposable fashion. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It's of no real value. And it's got nothing on the beauty with which God wants to clothe you. Nothing at all. Have more faith. Trust the Lord. Your beauty is not in your clothes, your makeup, your trainers, or anything else. Your beauty is in your soul. Your beauty is in your soul, your heart, that comes out of you with a joy that inhabits your face because your heart is so bathed in it. Marinate your heart and your mind in the cornerstone of Jesus, and it will come out through your smile and the twinkle in your eyes. You will radiate the beauty of the love of God. Don't worry about the things that the pagans do, but trust the Lord to know what you need, because he has your best interests at heart. Put God first and know that he loves you. Know that he has your best interests. Know that he can give you anything you need and more if he wishes. We had a car that desperately needed replacing, and we're now in a Jaguar. The Lord gives us more. He gives us more. A lot of people, Christians included, hedge their bets, reluctant to put all their eggs in one basket. I used to give advice on stocks and shares investment, and so I know all about spreading your risk. But God says, do not conform to the pattern of the world. Where is it? Right behind me. Do not conform to the pattern of the world. Do not live life hedging your bets. Well, God can have this bit, and possessions and wealth can have this bit, and my family can have this bit. Don't hedge your bets, but rather trust Jesus with all of it. All of it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your heart. He meant it. He meant it. Go all in on with Jesus. Give you all to Jesus. Trust Jesus alone. Not trust Jesus plus a whole bunch of other stuff. But go all in with Jesus. Trust Jesus for everything. He knows what you need. And he came that we may have life and have it to the full. John 10 verse 10. We can trust Jesus with everything. Give it all to him. Do not hedge your bets. It's not God and sport, friends, money, beauty, family, holidays, car, house. It's not that. It's not God and all this other stuff that's going to give you joy and happiness and peace and hope. It's not that at all. It's God, him and him alone, Christ alone, cornerstone. It's all and only in Jesus. Give him everything and let him take care of the rest. It's just God. Seek him first and let him deal with everything else. Many of us live life with this kind of FOMO thing, fear of missing out, that if I throw my lot in with Jesus and become this kind of, what the world might see as this kind of some super keeno Christian, then I'm going to miss out on all of this other stuff. It's tempting, but it's rubbish. It's tempting, but it's rubbish. The only way to miss out in this world is by not giving everything to God. If you don't want to miss out, give everything to God. Give everything to him. Throw your lot in with him. Throw everything in with him. If you give God only a bit so that you want to leave something left for the other things, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. In my experience, we get a lot of the other things that we want. A lot of the other things that we want. So it's not that we miss out by giving it all to Jesus, but that we're blessed in the abundance by giving it all to Jesus. You might think I'm building a case here on details, but this is what Jesus is telling us. This is exactly what he's saying. Treasure Jesus and treasure only Jesus. And let him bless you with the abundance of his heart. If you hedge your bets with Jesus because you want to enjoy or value other things, that is not only the opposite of what Jesus is asking us, but I think it will backfire. Why is it we say, well, I know that Jesus has asked me for this, but I think he's got this wrong. I think he only wants a bit of my heart because he wants me to enjoy all this other stuff too. Is that really what we want to say? Is that really how we want to live? I don't think it is. So if he said that, we need to do it. And if he said it, it means it's in our best interest. It means if we don't do that, then it's going to back fire. It's going to come back in a way that we don't want it to come back. God has given us everything in Jesus, the Son who died on the cross for us. So trust him. Trust him to love you. Trust him to provide for you. Trust him to give you joy and happiness and peace and hope and everything that you need. And not just enough, but in lavish abundance. For Jesus came to offer life and life in all of its fullness. We promised every blessing of heaven, nothing withheld. Let's not withhold from Jesus. Let me pray, and we're then going to worship together, and let's worship as though we're holding nothing back. Let's give it all to him. We're going to take communion as we do that as well, and we're going to give thanks for Jesus. Why are we going to do that? Because he gave it all for us. He gave it all for us. He left the splendor of heaven. It would have been really easy to have stayed there, wouldn't it? Father, you want me to go down there? Really? To go there? Have you not been noticing what they've been doing? And he came for us and gave it all for us and died on a cross for us. Let's give it all. Let's give it all for Jesus. He and he alone is our treasure. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands. Let me pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the simplicity of this passage, Lord. And I thank you for its simple instruction, Lord. Forgive us for sometimes wanting to overcomplicate it to us to get out of doing it. But allow your Holy Spirit to convict us and to show us the things now that are too valuable in our hearts. The things that have come to mean more to us than they ought. Lord, help us to realign and retune our hearts to put you front and center of everything. And that we would give our all to you, for you alone are our hope, you alone are our treasure, you alone are our joy. We're looking to you and you alone. For everything else will spoil and fade. Nothing else is as valuable as you. You alone are worthy. Help us to look to you first. Central, everything, all the time. Lord, I thank you that your word promises to us that when we do that, when we focus our heart on righteousness, you bless us in the abundance. So it's not that you want us to not have anything. Thank you, Lord, for the many, many, many ways that you continuously, over and over again, bless us in the abundance. But Lord, you ask for our heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Lord, I pray that your spirit, and it would be your spirit and not my words, but your spirit would do a work in all of us that shows us the things that are too valuable in our lives, that we would repent of them, we would lay them down at the foot of the cross, that we would gladly surrender all of our heart to you. And we would follow you, not worrying about all the other stuff, not worrying about what we're going to eat or drink or wear, but knowing that you are going to provide. As a gracious, magnificent, holy Father. Wonderful God. Father, I thank you for this communion feast, this bread and wine that speak so powerfully of the sacrifice of Jesus for us, that he came for us. Because he wanted us. We were so valuable to him. He wanted us in heaven with him so much that he came and died for us. He emptied himself, became nothing, and died for us. Father, I pray that as we sing, as we worship, as we take bread and wine together, that we would kind of realign our hearts and our thinking that put you first and central, that we would magnify you, we would glorify you for who you are and all that you have done and given to us. Our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father. Amen.